if one person says it, then I'm like, but if I start hearing multiple people saying that, you know, goodness, what am I doing?
If you're going to Wisconsin, you definitely had 1,800 yards in your future.
Let's not talk about it. Well, shout out to Barry Alvarez. Next.
It's the future.
Down and distance. On WGNRadio.com.
Down the distance, hot takes. I am Sean Davis alongside the man, the myth, the legend, Jared Payton at Payton Son on Twitter at SD2Mics. That's me. Hit us up at DAD Pod. Down the Distant Podcast on Twitter. Follow us right now.
What you got, man?
Hot takes.
Well, it's burning up in here.
Man.
You must have turned that heat up to about 20.
You talked about it a little bit. You teased it a little bit in down two. In second down. Jeffrey Lurie on the plane having private conversations in front of all the players, staff, and the head coach, Chip Kelly, with DeMarco Murray. We don't know what the conversation was about, but what's the level of disrespect? How would you take that as a teammate? When you have DeMarco Murray going above the head coach to presumably talk about his problems with the owner.
Well, first I want to know how he got to sit next to the owner. Did it just work out that way? Because normally in the front, if you're sitting in the front, that's
he's
where
the highest paid player, right?
Yeah, I'm just saying though, on the plane, normally like I've always
the
seen
the owner and the head coach, across from each other,
They're sitting next to each other or something like that. And
so
then,
do you think Chip has the Rosa Parks thing going on?
I don't know. That's where that's one of the first things to get to the front. One of the first things I want to know. I get it. Now I start to look at if I was a player on that plane. Yeah, I mean it. You won a game against the Patriots, man. I mean, this is. I understand you're upset not getting your touches. But if you have a problem, I feel like the first thing that you have to do is you have to address it. You know, to your head coach first. But certain situations, things change. And if they're just placed there and sat down, anytime. And we've always talked about how you come up with a hot mic to somebody after the game and how they're feeling.
Yeah, and you catch them in their
emotions.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like even with the emotions and being upset, after even being happy or whatever, you get on that plane and things start to pour out. You might have a drink on the plane, and that might loosen you just a little bit more. Like, hey, let me get up. I might not have this. Hey, I might not have this opportunity again to be sitting next to this. So this is perfect timing. I don't know if there's a snitch out there, but I want to know how all of it got out there. Like, how did it get? Did the players leak it out there?
There's always a snitch in the organization.
Yeah, I just
usually in the administrative offices. Usually in the administrative offices, and there's always one or two guys that reporters unofficially talk to off the record.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
Would I be upset if I was one of the players? Nah, you know, every man's got to handle his business, but.
So you have a problem with multiple things. The fact that it got out.
Who's
the snitch? The fact that.
And he didn't go to his head coach and talk to him.
But we don't know if he has gone to his head coach.
Yeah, that is true.
That's another thing. Maybe he's so frustrated that he just felt like, you know what? This is the only way I'm going to get things done.
But we know. But the one thing that we do know about Chip Kelly, everybody knows this. If you try to buck the system and not fall in line with what he's trying to do, we've seen it. He ships people out of town. So
now, Chip Kelly can – Bill Parcells is very similar. Other coaches in NFL history are very similar. If you buck my system, you're out of here.
You're out of here.
Right?
Maybe.
But somehow, some way, those coaches can be seen as player coaches. They still can walk the fine line, be a player's coach, and still have discipline and say, you know what, it's my way or the highway.
But
it's
a
tricky game. Everybody can't do it.
But I've never heard. Listen,
he's not a player's coach.
No, but hold up. It's either it could be though, Sean. But the only thing with Bill Parcells, I never heard him like, have a grievance with like black players or anything like that, because it's been documented where if one person says it, then I'm like, but if I start hearing multiple people saying that, you know, he cleaned house on some really good talent, which I get it if they're not going to fall in line. But yeah, does this mean that maybe him and the owner have a great relationship, and there's a reason why he's there? Maybe he hears some rumblings that maybe Chip's not going to be there, or maybe he wants to go somewhere else. I don't know how who's going to pick up that contract, because they'd have to either find a way to trade him in the offseason or cut him. I don't see them cutting him, but maybe he wants to leave.
You don't want the one problem I have with Chip. All of that aside, be who you are.
And he's a college coach.
That's cool. If that's who you are and you're going to live and die by that, you should have sold the house for Mariota. If you were going to go down with average players, you might as well have sold those draft picks and gotten a difference maker at quarterback. And I guarantee you Mariota and this offense in the NFC East.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I don't know if he was ready. I don't know if he was ready to make that big move. That's a huge move. But
he knew Mariota and this offense would be better than both of the options he has right now.
The options he has
option
now?
He sent to St. Louis.
The option, yes. All three of them.
Before he took a snap in the NFL, he knew that. I'm sure you knew that.
Horrible. All three of them. All three of them would not start on my team. And the offense is perfect for what he's doing. But who it's not perfect for is DeMarco Murray.
No, absolutely not. I blame DeMarco for that, though.
He knew that.
I blame him.
But he knew that.
Even if Chip promised him certain things, he should have known.
But that's where he probably fell into that trap. It's like when you with that girl.
Leopard's not going to change his spots.
When the girl and she says, you know, you two are dating. You're not together, but you're dating. You went out a couple times. Mm-hmm. And then she calls you and says, I'm pregnant.
Right.
And she's at home like, and you, the guy's at home like, yeah, man, I don't really, we were cool and all, but, and then she's over at home going, well, it's probably going to make, you know, him love me. And this is, it's like one of those situations.
It's either that or you playing it like Cain. What you calling me for? It ain't mine.
You know what I'm saying?
That's the way it goes.
He knew what he was getting himself into. I mean, at least I did. But I thought that there would be some type of change. But watching DeMarco Murray run East and West, that ain't his style.
He can't do it.
It's not what he does. And his offense is not built like that. And so, you know, he came from a great situation. What happens if he was still in Dallas?
It would have been much easier for Matt Castle.
Even
right now, much easier for Matt Castle. Better for Devin Street, Jason Witten. It's a little bit better. Brandon Wheaton actually might still be on the team.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, and they might be leading the division. But hot take number two.
All right.
College coaches.
Yes.
We know that Kirby Smart was hired as the new head coach at the University of Georgia. Mark Richt was then hired by your guys, the U. Kirby Smart is still going to coach and has decided to coach Alabama through the college football playoffs. Now, he's at Georgia. He's making calls to Jacob Eason, the number one quarterback in the nation, who Mark Richt is trying to pull with him to the University of Miami. How is all of this right?
It's not.
Does the NCAA need to come up with some type of legislation that if you take a job,
that you have to
leave?
I wouldn't.
That's very tricky.
I wouldn't oppose of it though. I really like the fact that if you're going to get a new head coaching job, and I believe once you take that job, and there's something that you need to be fully just concentrating on what your situation.
Yeah.
Because it starts to get a little murky, and when all this stuff goes on, and no one's really talking about it, Sean. But a kid, you know, gets a pizza from somebody and we blow stuff out of the water in the NCAA. Like, oh, you can't receive some food from somebody.
Right.
But you got all this stuff going on here. A guy has already taken a job somewhere, and he's recruiting to take him with.
So the guys that he's recruited for you, you don't think he's going to try and take those players to his new location or his new destination? Mark Richt has the number one quarterback coming to Georgia. Who cares if Brad Kye is there?
Yeah.
He's bringing his guy.
I mean, that's the name of the game. We
so
all
So when
knew
Jacob
that.
Eason gets down to South Beach, he's never been there. He's been to Athens.
Come to South Beach.
He's been to Athens, Georgia. He doesn't know Kirby Smart. He doesn't have a relationship with Kirby Smart.
No.
He has a relationship with Mark Richt. And he's going to see South Beach.
And
you tell me where he's going.
He's going to Miami.
So now Georgia has a big hole at quarterback, the most important position on the football field.
Seems like that's been a recurring thing over the years.
No. Mark Richt has had some pretty good quarterbacks, man.
I mean, other than...
His quarterbacks have played well,
they
shall
play
I say.
Well, but they're not those, other than Stafford,
I mean,
who's been...
Stafford.
Has anybody else been, like, good or dominant in the NFL? No. But they've been good college quarterbacks.
They've been very good college quarterbacks.
But they've always
because
had...
A,
they've always
had coach.
But they've always had running games.
If anybody, man, Mark Richt, go to his firing press conference, I guess, at Georgia. Very inspirational. Changed my entire idea about the guy. And he's a bad luck guy. I just look at that. Look
he
at
is.
It like that.
He's really,
right?
He's had some
he
bad luck.
He played at the U
behind
Jim
Kelly.
And then his senior year, in comes Bernie Kosar and Vinny Testaverde.
It's like me. Same thing.
You're
I got
right.
there.
You're right.
Portis was there. Next year, Willis comes. The next year after that, Frank comes. I'm like, dude.
Started calling you J.P. Richt.
I should have just went to Wisconsin. Goodness, what
hey,
am
you,
I doing?
If you're going to Wisconsin, you definitely had 1,800 yards in your future.
Let's not talk about it. Shout out to Barry Alvarez. Next one.
Hot take number three. Toast. So, of course, big win for the Stanford Cardinal.
Yeah.
Against the USC Trojans. Clay Helton, new head coach, had the interim tag taken off. He fired four coaches immediately after the game the following day. Late Sunday, news came down Monday morning. One of those coaches was his defensive coordinator, Justin Wilcox. If you remember, our guy, McCaffrey, 67-yard catch and run for a touchdown in the fourth quarter. On the sideline, Coach Helton walks up to Justin Wilcox, the defensive coordinator, and says, who was supposed to defend him on that play? And Wilcox answer, I don't know. Toast.
You
gone. Defense coordinator tells the head coach when he's asked who was supposed to have him, who was supposed to be defending him on that play. And your response was, I don't know. Now, in his defense, I don't know if that I don't know was basically saying,
I get
man,
you.
I'm frustrated. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It must have been literally, I don't know, because there's no way that he gets rid of him over that. Because, I mean, more than likely, you're going to watch the film anyway.
Probably
afterwards.
Not good to use those three
no,
words
no.
in response to any question from your boss.
No. I think you should just, if you had something to say.
Just throw a name out there.
Throw a name
any
out there.
Any safety.
Johnson.
Any DB. Any linebacker.
Anybody. Just throw it out there. I mean, that's not
it's
good.
Not like Clay is an offensive guy. Not like he knows the play you call or the scheme you're supposed to have on that play. You can easily come back the next day in the meeting and say, yo, I watched the film. We were in a cover three.
Yeah, even if you say something
we were
at that time.
Fox, whatever it is.
Yeah, you can say whatever you have to say at that moment and then come back the next day and go, listen, I just watched the film over. So-and-so, I messed up. This is who. That's all you had to do.
Not good for your resume, bro.
No.
No. I don't know.
No.
That's your reference.
What else you got?
Last but not least, hot take number four.
Let's do it.
I want to talk about why the Carolina Panthers don't seem to have the same buzz that the 2007 New England Patriots had around them. Now, granted, there was a Randy Moss connected to them. There was a Tom Brady. There was a Junior Seau. A lot of other great defensive players on their team that are Hall of Famers. Carolina, we sat here. I think I might have been the only person.
You did. You were.
Once they lost their number one receiver, which was their only receiver at the time.
You were.
I was the only one that sat here and said the best quarterback. This is how I said it. The best quarterback in their division. And you paused and stopped me and said, huh? I said, yes, the best quarterback in that division is going to win the division again.
I did say
and that. Here we go. They're 12 and what?
Oh.
Mm. Best quarterback in the division is who?
Cam Newton.
Oh.
And he's doing it without.
You brought up Drew Brees. Great career.
Yeah, but not.
Smarting down just a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. Don't even talk to me about the supposed natural. I don't want to hear about Matt Ryan. I don't want to hear about
don't
him.
Don't bring his name
up. If Cam had the weapons he has.
Oh, it'd be done.
Oh, come on, man.
I mean, other than Greg Olsen, there's really no targets downfield that he's throwing to. Ted Ginn.
Yeah.
I mean, Jericho Gotcha.
Yeah.
So to see what he's done, especially in later in games, has been phenomenal. I think I do have a problem, though, Sean. I have a problem with, and you know I've had a problem with this from the beginning when he came out of college, was a lot of people not giving him the credit and saying that basically he wouldn't be able to grasp NFL offenses because of what he came from in college. And it's like that stereotypical, you know, the black quarterback mystique that, you know, from the old days of talking to guys like Doug Williams and just having these conversations with these guys that I feel like he doesn't get enough credit. And he's this new day and age quarterback where he's not only he can do so much. There's nobody in the NFL that can do what he does.
He reminds me.
You can't.
Like, of LeBron in the football sense.
He's got this. You see him. You meet him. I got a chance to meet him 2 years ago at the NFL Honors backstage. And he has this superstar just aura about him when he walks up to you. Like when he walks up, he's a nice guy. He shakes your hand. He's got a smile on his face.
And what's
He's everything that you want.
You love him or hate him.
Yeah. It's right? You love or hate him.
Yeah.
And a lot of this stuff got blown out of proportion of the whole dancing and getting into the end zone. And what I loved was his take on it where, listen, if you don't want me to dance, don't let me get in the end zone.
Stop me.
Don't let me get in the end zone. But you only look at that, at him doing that. And I know that the TV and we all focus on that because that's what everybody sees. But I saw this great video 2 days ago of him before the game talking to these kids, having a relationship with these kids on the sidelines.
That's what you want as the NFL, right?
Yes.
That's what you want.
I mean, it blows my mind. I'm like, you know, why do people just focus on all this stuff and he's doing everything? I mean, the other day, I'm thinking after he scored that touchdown with the Saints, he didn't get the ball from the ref. He didn't get, then he had to run up to the guy, the ball guy on the side. He didn't want to give it to him. He snatched out his hand to give it to these kids. Listen, I don't even watch a lot of Carolina games. And I know, listen, I know what he does after he scores. Like, come on now. Like, it gets a little murky in there. And what I want to see happen, I want to see them keep going. I want them to go for perfection, bro. I don't want them to just stop. And Ron Rivera's talked about this. What they're asking Cam to do, because everybody's worried about Cam getting hurt, stop. First of all, Cam's not running as much as he used to run. He does when he needs to. Smart when he runs, though.
Yeah.
Very, very smart when he runs.
Yeah.
These design runs, how big is he? Two.
This is crazy. I was talking to someone about this. He's what, 6'5"?
250? It's
260?
That's,
now, you stand him next
to
Jimmy,
linebacker.
You stand him next to Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler would actually be taller than him. That's crazy.
Yeah.
LeBron would be taller than him. But he still looks like he looks so menacing and so big. Yeah. And it's probably the pads that make him even more menacing. But he looks so menacing, so big. They doubted that he could be a leader.
He is that.
He's going for his fourth division title in a row.
25 touchdowns.
Now, if we had that moniker, we talk about what? The domination of Tom Brady in AFC East. We talk about Aaron Rodgers and how they dominate the NFC North. How about the best quarterback and the most dominant quarterback in the NFC South for the last 4 years?
He's only going to get credit, and if if they win a Super Bowl.
And so what, he doesn't do it like Rodgers. So what, he doesn't do it like Brady. He gets the job done. I tell you what, the numbers bear this out. If it's a fourth quarter game, I don't want Aaron Rodgers.
No.
Give me him.
What he's been doing in the fourth quarter has been phenomenal. But he's not going to get the credit, man, until he wins a championship. And I hope I will be there. I will be out on the West Coast. I want to see them win.
Okay. Right now, today, does anybody walk into Carolina and beat them? Be honest.
I don't think so.
Mm. Green Bay? Nope.
No. I really don't think so.
And Arizona might have the best chance.
Yeah. That's the only team.
Yeah, because I don't even think Seattle, I don't think they get it done. He went out to Seattle.
I know.
And beat them out there.
I don't think anybody.
And people don't see Ted Ginn, the level he's playing at, and Funches is coming along.
Yeah.
Each and every week, he's becoming a more viable number two option at the right. And Greg Olsen, whew.
Greg is balling.
You thought he was dead after he left Chicago?
Oh, no. Mm. He got rejuvenated. All right. We'll see. I like the hot takes. I can actually go for some hot cakes right now. I'm hungry.